All right. Well, why don't we move into the agenda then? Item three, presentation on the appearance of the noise mitigation measures on the North Point waterfront. Yes. Well, our members is actually the designer, so we can give him a hard time. Vincent, if you'd like to move to the other end of the room. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Large team. Highways Department, ACOM Consultants, Chun Wo Consultant, AGC Design Consultant, Earth Asia Consultant. Welcome all. We did look at the initial proposals, as you know, last time, and particularly concerned about exterior design of the landscape deck and the open space, particularly as it projects close to the waterfront. Vincent will record your interest, obviously. Mr. Liu, I think you're going to brief us, are you? Thank you. Would you like to make a start? And if you can confine it to 10 minutes, that would be helpful, I think.
Okay, thank you. 多謝主席。咁我哋今次上嚟呢，主要个目的呢係向大家介绍中环湾仔绕道嘅工程。个重点呢就係我哋想讲一讲呢，喺北角隧道出口段同埋我哋连接东区走廊嘅路段呢，我哋会做一啲嘅隔音屏障同埋一啲半密封式嘅隔音罩。咁我哋呢会对呢一啲屏障同埋隔音罩呢係进行一啲美化同埋绿化嘅工程嘅。咁一陣間呢，我會請我哋嘅顧問公司嘅代表李振輝先生啦，咁同埋就我哋呢、這個隔音罩同埋隔音屏障嘅綠化同埋美化設計嘅代表啦，就係吳永順先生啦，咁佢哋呢去向大家去做一個 PowerPoint 嘅介紹。咁介紹完之後呢，其實我會請大家呢去睇一睇呢，我哋有一個實體模型就擺咗喺呢個角嗰度嘅。咁睇完之後呢，我哋就可以即係接受各位委員嘅提問。咁唔阻大家時間，我先請李振輝先生去開始介紹我哋呢一個工程啦，唔該。
Thank you。
主席、各位委員，大家好。咁就今日我會同大家講解一下，介紹一下整個灣仔繞道工程一啲背景資料啦，同埋我哋隔噪音舒緩措施嘅一啲相關嘅資訊嘅。咁亦都吳永順先生咧，亦都會幫我哋講解一下佢整個設計概念城中綠洲一個簡介嘅。咁亦都會向大家匯報過往我哋一連串所做咗嘅公眾諮詢嘅工作。咁最後亦都會匯報而家繞道工程嘅進度係點樣嘅。咁中環灣仔繞道咧係沿住港島北岸嘅一條策略性嘅快速公路嚟嘅。咁就目的就係去舒緩而家現時江樂道中下角道告士打道走廊嘅交通擠塞嘅情況嘅。工程亦都會包括咗喺東區走廊上高咧，會興建一啲噪音緩解嘅措施嘅。而呢啲緩解措施係根據環境影響評估報告之中所要求嘅當中包括嘅隔音屏障啦、半密封式嘅隔音罩嘅。咁而家繞道咧，工程咧已經喺2009年12月開始施工㗎啦。咁預計咧會喺2017年咧開始通車。咁上述我所講嘅隔音緩解措施咧，就會喺北角段隧道及東區走廊連接路合約所興建嘅。咁呢個合約咧已經喺2011年1月咧已經開始施工。咁呢張圖咧就顯示到咧繞道工程咧個項目中嘅佈局啦，咁顯示到唔同工程合約嘅分布位置嘅。當中頭先我所講嘅北角段隧道及東區走廊連接路嘅合約咧，就坐落喺咧銅鑼灣避風塘以東嘅位置嘅。咁噪音舒緩措施啦，咁我哋嘅目的咧就為咗係保護鄰近居民免受到東區走廊交通噪音上嘅滋擾嘅。咁位置咧就由西邊嘅維多利中心去到東面嘅顯利中學嘅。 咁當中就包括咗270米長嘅遠景平台，而呢個遠景平台咧就會坐落喺隧道東面嘅出口嘅。咁喺東行線上高咧，亦都會有580米嘅隔音屏障。喺西行線上高咧，就會有730米嘅半密幅聲嘅隔音罩嘅。咁呢張平面圖咧，就清楚顯示到咧嗰個當中嗰、那個隔音屏障同隔音罩嘅佈局啦。咁東行線就以有唔同高度嘅隔音屏障啦。咁西行線咧，同埋西行線就會有6.9米至9.5米高嘅半密幅聲嘅隔音罩嘅。咁喺西行線同東行線嘅中間咧，就會有270米嘅遠景平台。咁點解我哋需要有呢個噪音嘅舒緩緩解措施呢？就其實要根據咗喺環境影響評估條例之下咧，繞路工程其實係一個指定嘅工程項目。而喺環評條例之下咧，所有新興建嘅主要道路咧，都要跟隨一個法定嘅環評嘅程序，以確保交通嘅噪音咧係達至可接受嘅水平。咁根據環評條例同埋相關嘅技術指引咧，喺噪音嘅受體嘅噪音水平，例如鄰近嘅居民啦，同埋嗰個學校咧，係嗰個噪音水平係需要評估嘅。咁若嗰個噪音水平係超過咗法定嘅70分貝嘅水平或以上，而同時整體嘅噪音水平係超過1分貝咧，咁我哋就要需要去採取一啲直接嘅噪音嘅緩解措施，例如隔音屏障同埋半密封式嘅隔音罩。咁根據環評條例499章，我哋呢個噪音嘅舒緩措施咧，係經過詳細嘅分析同埋評估，再經由環保署所審批同埋核准嘅。咁而家我將以下嘅時間咧，就交俾吳永順先生，就同我哋講解一下成個城中綠洲嘅設計嘅主題。
Thank you.
主席，各位委員，我以下我會講講關於嗰、那個即係一啲設計嘅概念啦。咁如果大家喺個圖度見到右手邊嗰個標誌咧，咁都係我哋海濱事務委員會嚇，即係為呢一個維港去做一個標誌嚇。咁嗰個標誌就係表示到維港嚇嘅一個特質，就係有動感嚇、有活力、有生命力。咁佢唔係一隻帆船，唔係一間樓嚇，唔係一條魚，唔係一隻蝦嚇。咁而就係用一個即係流線型抽象嘅形式咧，去表達到一個即係維港嗰種嘅動感同埋活力。咁所以我哋喺嗰個隔音屏障嗰個設計嘅時候，我哋都係即係由於即係呢啲嘅活力啊、海浪啊，而藉此咧係去將一個咁龐大嘅基建咧，去將佢即係有翻一啲温柔嘅感覺嚇。咁另一方面就係話，好多市民都係希望嗰個維港海濱咧係有更大嘅綠化啦，更多嘅可達性啦嚇。咁而即係藉著呢一個成個項目咧，我哋都可以將一啲市民咧係帶出去維港海濱嗰度。咁而嗰個隔音屏障嘅設計同埋一個遠景平台嘅設計咧，其實都係希望咧係同將來喺北角區呢一個維港海濱嘅公共嘅空間咧，係作為一個整體嘅聯繫。咁依個就圖就大家睇到嗰、那個即係工程個範圍一個立體圖啦，即係由左至右嘅，大家可以睇到左手邊就係嗰、那個寫住 green roof 嗰、那個咧，就係、是、一個隔音屏障頂上邊嘅一啲嘅種植綠化。咁大家我哋睇到就係話，我哋會將佢做到好似一個海浪嘅形嚇，咁、就好似一啲綠洲咧係漂浮咗喺個即係城市嘅空間裏面。咁而呢一啲波浪形咧，又向右手 邊伸延嘅時候咧，佢就係去到一個即係十級以下嘅園景平台。其實呢個園景平台佢係嗰個中環灣仔繞道，即係嗰個隧道嘅出口嚟嘅，嗰、那個 tunnel portal。咁其實呢個 tunnel portal 個頂咧，我哋就做到佢係一個園景平台咁咧，係向由東向西十級而下，咁一路去到右手段咧，就係、是、直接連接到即係將來嘅喺東區呢一個嘅海濱嘅公共空間。咁將來呢一個綠色嘅海濱公共空間咧，咁都會係即係將會開放俾市民去享用嗰個海濱嘅設施。咁我以下咧就會詳細講講我哋點樣選用一個顏色啦，點樣選用一個呢啲嘅圖案同埋一啲嘅綠化嘅簡介。咁既然呢一個嘅即係隔音屏障咧，佢在就係喺個維港嘅海濱，咁所以其實佢都會係一個相當即係令人見到嘅一個即係 visible 嘅一個即係結構嚟嘅。咁佢既喺維港海濱，亦都係接近一啲嘅周邊嘅住宅大廈。咁分別就係呢啲城市花園啊、海豐園啊、維多利中心嗰啲。咁所以其實為咗即係符合海濱規劃原則，亦都係讓市民可以即係有個無障礙嘅嗰、那個 visual permeability 通出去維港咧。其實我哋採用嗰、那個物料咧，喺一啲住宅或側邊咧，都係要係盡量係透明嚇。咁、所以我哋係盡量係採用透明嘅物料咧，係去放喺一啲垂直嘅面嗰度。咁下面嗰張圖呢，就係話點解我哋會有啲 jumbo color 啦，就係話如果佢係喺一啲非住宅，譬如酒店啊等啦，咁嗰啲地方呢，就會有一啲即係用天藍色嘅一啲隔音嘅物料呢，係去製造一個跳躍嘅圖案，咁就去即係彰顯即係維港嗰個海岸嗰個動感。咁亦都見到就係話沿住嗰個橋邊呢，亦都係有一啲即係綠化。咁所以顏色嗰方面呢，其實我哋都係採取大自然嘅顏色啦，即係藍天碧海同埋一啲即係白雲咁樣嘅即係天然嘅顏色，去即係做嗰、那個即係顏色嘅選擇。咁呢個係喺個內部嗰個橋面望嗰個感覺。事實上嗰個隔音屏罩呢，係個跨度係相當闊嘅，即係最闊嘅地方有成80米。咁所以我哋其實都係盡量用一啲輕巧嘅物料呢，去做呢一個大跨度嘅設計。咁我哋亦都有必要呢，係要讓嗰個駕駛者呢，喺個橋面上面安全嘅即係行駛啦。咁嗰、那個天然光線呢，亦都係需要去考慮嘅。咁所以個天面嘅設計呢，其實就要平衡綠化同埋即係有個天然采光嘅功能。咁而家喺呢個圖見到，就係話喺個天面上面，天花上面呢，係有一啲分別係有一天然藍色同埋即係湖水綠色嘅一啲嘅隔音嘅物料。而嗰、那個結構嘅用嘅柱呀成呢，都係用一啲即係淺灰色嘅顏色。剛才我講過，就係話嗰個隔音罩嘅頂部呢，係即係除咗綠化之外呢，亦都係要透光咁既可讓天然光線去到嗰個橋面亦都係減少啦嗰、那個，即係如果你話太多嘅遮光呢，咁亦都係會影響嗰、那個即係駕駛者嘅安全。咁以下呢個睇到嘅就係話我哋一啲物料嘅樣板呢，因為我哋一路去諮詢嘅市民大眾呢，大家都好想知道究竟嗰啲樣板究竟係點樣㗎啦。咁我哋都有一啲實板呢係俾大家睇嘅。咁譬如話呢啲究竟綠色啊、藍色啊呢啲半透明嘅物料又係點樣呢？究竟所謂透明嘅喺右手邊究竟有幾透明呢？咁如果你睇到我哋右手邊嗰個透明嘅板呢，其實是相當透明的。 咁關於圖案嗰方面咧，即係剛才我哋都希望即係帶到，就係話一啲即係動感嚇，即係用海浪嘅形式嘅曲線，既可以即係油化一個剛硬嘅即係個大龐大嘅結構啦，亦都係可以咧係表達到嗰、那個即係水嘅動感嚇。咁即係呢個就係話喺嗰個隔音罩上邊嘅一啲即係綠化嘅即係圖案啦。咁所講嘅綠化咧，其實就除咗喺嗰個即係隔音罩個頂之外咧，我哋亦都係喺即係西面咧有一個嘅即係遠景嘅平台咧，就係、是、嗰個 tunnel portal 嚇、個隧道頂嗰度咧，亦都係一個一級級連接嗰個海濱公園嘅一個landscape deck 嚇、另外就係話喺嗰個天橋嘅兩旁嘅一啲垂直嘅面咧，我哋都有一啲嘅綠化嘅。咁講到綠化咧，其實就係都因為呢個係喺海濱咧，咁我哋有園景設計師咧，佢哋都係好小心咁去選擇啲植物，佢既需要係有不同嘅高低啦，不同嘅顏色啦，好使喺四季入面咧有不同嘅景觀嚇、而且佢兼且係需要容易打理，而選擇嘅樹木咧，亦都係必須要係耐風、耐旱嚇，咁同埋耐鹽啦。嘅，因為佢喺海邊啦，咁所以都係要一啲比較即係有咁樣樣嘅性能嘅一啲植物。咁主席各位委員，其實之前咧喺成個項目咧，因為佢都係好接近周邊嘅一啲嘅住宅嘅屋邨啦，咁我哋亦都係即係喺過去嘅一年裏面咧，就做咗好多個呢啲嘅諮詢會，分別係即係諮詢咗城市花園啦、維多利中心啦、海豐園啦嘅一啲嘅住客嘅組織，而佢哋對於整個設計嘅意見咧，都係支持嘅。咁亦都喺今年年初咧，就係舉辦咗一個即係公眾嘅community forum。咁亦都有相當多嘅公眾人士啦，同埋一啲區議員咧係去參加。咁佢哋都聽咗嗰個設計之後咧，大家都認為係支持。而喺三月頭咧，我哋係去過呢個東區區議會，咁亦都向各個東區區議員咧係即係講述嗰個設計，而佢哋得嚟嘅回應咧都係正面嘅。咁現時咧就係話我哋係仍然喺嗰、那個即係 fine tune 緊嗰個設計嘅過程裏面啦。咁一啲結構嘅component 咧，而家係做緊。咁喺地盤嘅工作咧，就亦都會喺2013年咧係分逐步進行。而我哋希望達到嗰、那個完工期咧，係喺2017年嘅。咁主席，因為咧我哋而家其實房間嘅一邊咧，我哋係有一個模型嘅，咁我都希望可以喺個模型側邊咧，係向即係大家去俾大家睇下嗰個模型，同埋喺度即係接受大家嗰個提問。咁如果嗰度冇嗰個即時傳譯咧，或者我哋出到嗰邊，我哋講英文係啦。好，咁多謝主席。Chairman, can we just go walk around and see the model?
Yeah, I think we should do that and. But just one question before we move to the model. The engagement with the residents is nearly now a year ago. Was it this particular scheme that the residents were invited to comment on, or has the design been further refined since you saw the residents?
Well, in fact, what we have been presenting is very, very consistent, and it's the same thing that we present to the resident.
Okay, thank you. Shall we go and look at the model?
Yeah.
Thank you. What I suggest we do is, if you have questions about the model, by all means ask them, but we'll save the rest of the questions for when you come back to your seats if we can. Thank you. Right, members, you're invited to make comment, pass views. I mean, I say personally, I have a concern, obviously, about looking at elements in isolation, if you like. We hear this is just one contract, and that by itself has implications, and we aren't also looking at the waterfront at the same time. So, I do worry about a consolidated solution in due course. But that's the chairman's view, if you like. Members, comments, observations on what you've seen, Paul?
Yeah, the beautiful plants, great looking colour stickers. I think the view from the residents is most important. I think from the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee, the issue would be the permeability of the structure, and that's defined by the EIA. So I think I have no further comments on that aspect that is for today's agenda. But I would have queries about the issues we have raised earlier for the site, which is public access to the cover has to be ensured in the construction to make sure that the load bearing is there and safety features are included. And the permeability under at ground level, I know that the administration building is going to be built there. If we all look under the road, we can see that this stretches for a long bit in front of everybody's properties, including the view corridors which have been requested for some of the developments behind on Oyster Street. So, again, government hasn't addressed that issue. Planning department asked for view corridors and open non-built areas in the developments on one side, and an administration building is built in front of it, blocking the view corridor. And I think there's got to be more work done by Highways Department and CWD team to fix that problem and rearrange the administration building location and design before it's too late. And I don't see that we had a positive response or any positive contribution on that so far. It's an issue that's been raised in the last meeting. Now government is here. I hope that we can get an answer that they will go and fix it and get those view corridors sorted out. Thank you.
All right. Concerns about access, concerns about permeability. Well, I suggest, if you agree, we'll collect the questions or collect the views and then you answer them as a package, if you like. I think that would make better sense. Anybody else got anything they'd like to say? Please. Thank you.
Hi. I have a few questions regarding the public engagement exercises. Yeah, it seems a very straightforward project, but I have two questions. One is for information, and that is there are five events or five activities held, and you put down in Annex 4 the participants as like a management office, owners committee, and residents. I'm just curious whether you have like the number of residents or number of participants at each of these activities, and could that be made known to the committee? Yeah. Second question, okay, has to do with the methodology of these public engagement exercises. In the past like couple of years, we have come across situations where stakeholder groups would come out after the completion of a stakeholder or public engagement exercise and say that they have not been consulted, they have not been engaged. Okay, so in this case, would you anticipate any surprises, meaning at the end when you make the announcement that we have already conducted the public engagement exercises, we have talked to all the concerned parties, and then someone or some groups will come out and say that we have not been consulted, we have not been engaged, okay, there's something wrong with the public engagement exercise. I mean, have you thought about that? And it pertains to the methodology of how the public engagement exercises were conducted. So I'm just concerned that I don't want to see any surprises. That's all, yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. So questions about engagement? The process you've been through? Please, thank you.
Yeah, Chairman, I also had that concern, particularly they mentioned that the lower two floor, mm-hmm. The view will block it. So will those occupants have been notified and informed that they will lose their permanent view? Your answer seemed to me is wait until they find out and then ask for compensation. But once a later statement they find out, they start to commit protest, may you ask for jurisdiction and review, but then you are in trouble. So I think that two floor, the occupant of those two floor, you particularly need to be draw their attention to this design. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Again, engagement, what was the views of the people whose views are going to be blocked? Peter, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, as a long-term critic of noise barriers in general from an urban design perspective, I found it impossible to get enthusiastic about this. In fact, if we look at what's happened in Hong Kong over recent years, you know, I don't think never has so much been spent for so little real environmental benefit. And what really always eludes me is that to resolve the impact of one thing, i.e. noise, we have another impact, which is visual. And I think noise barriers have in recent years become the bane of the urban area, really. Now, of course, you know, we can look at this in very different ways, one of which is to revisit the EIAO ordinance. If we're to be led to think that 70 dB is acceptable, but 70 dB plus 1 or 2 or 3, we're never really told, is not acceptable, then, you know, what would be the impact of slightly raising the limit? As far as I can see, when people buy residences here, they must take noise into account. Now, of course, if it's colossal amount of noise, then we have, as a city, got to do something about it. Okay, so, you know, we come back to the design itself. I think the design is a little bit misleading. It's made on the model to look exactly like a park, but it has no obvious visual or recreational benefit to the public, who are going to experience it more at ground level. It is at a colossal height, you know. The Island Eastern Corridor, which we all accept is a pretty, you know, ugly structure, is already high, and we are already trying to make proposals to make it better looking at ground level and accessible for pedestrians at ground level. But adding, I can't remember now how many meters it is above that, you know, is simply making something that really is, to all intents and purposes, a sort of enormous element. And unless we can genuinely disguise it from people who are going to experience it the most, in particular the public, no matter where they're viewing it from, but particularly alongside it, then I find it difficult to be too enthusiastic. So I think if we're to accept this, and if we're to accept the inevitability, it seems, of actually extending it perhaps all the way along to Quarry Bay, for very little effect. I mean, really, for the public at large, they simply aren't benefiting that much, as far as I can see. The only thing one can do that really alleviates it is not to have a kind of ribbon pattern on the roof or a sort of fake deck. It's really more greenery alongside to merge it into the green parks and publicly accessible spaces. Thank you.
So, questions about noise levels. You might want to comment about the noise levels. And also, is there a simpler solution? I think this is what Peter is suggesting. Does it necessary to create this large landscape deck, which people may not have access to, the public may not have access to? Any other questions, members? Right, Vincent and team, do you want to respond, share it between you? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'll try to go through the questions one by one.
Thank you.
The first thing is the consideration of the landscape design as an element on its own in isolation from the overall harbourfront space. Okay, so at this moment, the administration is still considering how to best utilize the waterfront space from North Point to Wan Chai and to Central, and that will be dealt with at a later stage. So at this moment, we cannot preempt what will be done with the open space. But what we foresee is that having designed the landscape deck, as well as the greening measures on top of the semi-noise enclosure, I think in the future, when they do design the open space, they will take into account the present landscape design and will try the best way to merge the future landscape design with the existing one. So I think that will still be looked at in conjunction with the landscape deck, but that will be done at a future stage. The second question is about the permeability or the visual permeability of the structure. As we have explained when we are looking at the model, there will be an administration building beneath the future bridge. And when we design the administration building, what we try to achieve is to maximize the the efficiency of land use and to minimize its visual disturbance to the surrounding areas. So we have made the decision to put that administration building below the bridge deck so that it would not be a very so that it would not create a large visual intrusion. And by putting that below the bridge deck, then we are subject to certain space constraints, which we have to design that to maximize the efficiency of use of space. And because of this reason, we cannot provide a certain view corridor, right? Because if we do that, then we will have to cut up the administration building, and that would not be a very efficient use of the space then. But when we are designing this, it is important that we bear in mind the overall effects of the administration building. By putting that beneath the bridge deck, we are trying to minimize its visual impact also and to maximize the efficiency of land use. As for the accessibility to the landscape deck, as I've explained just now, this is located in the tunnel area. And according to present practice, the tunnel area is not accessible to the public because of concerns of management and operation and also traffic safety issues. But we understand that some members of the public or some members here would like the administration to consider public access to it. And we will take this back and we will reconsider this. And also probably the administration would put this into consideration when we are looking at the whole waterfront space as a whole. So we will further look into this issue. As for the point on public engagement, we share the members' view that there's always a danger that after we've done several rounds of public consultation and then when we start to implement the project, somebody will jump out and say, you haven't consulted me, and they will raise objections. But I think this is the present situation in Hong Kong. But what we have done is we have tried to engage everybody in the vicinity, including the residents of the housing estates in the vicinity, the management offices, and we have held public forums. We have issued newsletters since, I think, 2010. We have issued newsletters every quarter to all the people around there. So we have done what we can do, reasonably can do, and we'll just have to wait and see. Right? If somebody comes up with an objection, then we will deal with it. The next question would be
there was a question on the numbers who had attended the various sessions.
Yes, we will provide that information. We have, I think we have records of those, so we can provide the information after the meeting. The point about compensation, well, we try to actually when we presented these designs to the residents, we have showed them which floors actually a diagram showing which floors will be blocked and the views, so they do know about this, right? But I think the question was about would they ask for compensation or can they ask for compensation? So that would be up to the residents themselves to decide. And if they do, then there are procedures to deal with that. And we will deal with them according to procedures. Yes, and also you may notice that during our design process, we have tried to minimize the visual intrusion as far as possible, like using transparent vertical noise barrier panels so that people can actually see through the panels, even if they are in the way. So we try to do as much as possible to reduce the visual intrusion. I think the next question is about it's a question about the EIAO. Now we have to operate within the EIAO itself. So if before we do the project, we have to do the environmental impact assessment in accordance with the ordinance. And because of the noise levels, and we are bound to do something to mitigate it. And the most effective measure would be to use noise barriers. And we do understand that there are people who do not like noise barriers because they create other problems. But we are bound by the ordinance to do so. So there is very little that we can do. There are very little else that we can do. And we are aware of the problems of noise enclosures and noise barriers, and we try to minimize that impact as far as possible. At the same time, in compliance with the EIAO. So I think...
What are the noise levels you're having to deal with?
Well, there are...
What's the range? The range.
I think what we do during the EIAO is we try to predict the noise level up to 2031, and we try to find the worst case scenario right during this period, and the noise levels would be about 60 to 80 dBs depending on where the sensitive receiver is. So for the higher range of noise levels, it will be around 80 dBs. And that would be some 10 dBs above the ordinance, what is required under the ordinance.
Anything else you want to say?
Sorry?
Anything else you'd like to mention?
Well, I think I have addressed all the questions.
Thank you. Vincent, question for you from the chair. I mean, you were one of the authors of the harbour planning principles. No mention of harbour planning principles in here, specific mention anyway. Do you think this project responds to the harbour planning principles?
Well, you know, it's so difficult to answer this question from this side of the table, you know.
That's why I asked it.
Okay. Well, as the author of the design, I am fully aware of all these harbour planning principles. And frankly speaking, I discover there are things that I can do, there are things that I cannot do. I mean, when I say I cannot do it, that means I'm not able to do within that parameter of being a consultant to the government. Right. So, in terms of addressing a visual branding in terms of integrating the harbour front, I think I have been doing very well on having thinking in context of the project together with other harbour front open space within the vicinity. So those are all bear in mind when I do the design. So I'm not just doing that project within that project boundary, but having a consideration of how does it relate to the other places of the harbour front. Now there are things that I cannot do is the alignment of that path. And there are things that are already there, like this administration building, ventilation building. There are things that, well, you cannot get a visual permeability from Old Street to the harbour. And those are all given in this project. So, Chairman, it's a difficult question for me. I have tried my best within the parameter to comply with the harbour planning principles.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Members, one quick second round, please. Thank you.
Well, thank you for that response to my question regarding the nature of the public engagement exercises. Yeah, but my feeling is that it seems like it's business as usual. I mean, as far as the approach taken by your department, okay, in how to conduct or how you conduct the public engagement exercises. But I think that's a need, okay, to have a change in your approach, yeah, given the problems that the government has encountered in the last, like, 1 or 2 or even 3 years, right, regarding this kind of, like, activities, I mean, engaging the public. I mean, could that be a possibility that can borrow this concept, like, sensitive receiver, okay, in deciding that you are going to build a noise barrier to sort of identify the stakeholders whose interests will be impacted, okay, by the noise barrier project, and then be proactive and actually reaching out. I mean, you can identify, right? For example, I mean, those the property owners, okay, whose properties the bill, okay, of the properties will be blocked, okay, by the noise barriers. I mean, they should be identified and they should be invited, okay. But right now, okay, according to what you have just told us, I mean, so like, it's very passive.
as far as the public engagement exercises were the way that they were conducted. I mean, you saw like, you made an announcement and then you waited for people to come, okay? And you saw, I think it could be done in a more proactive way, more like anticipatory. I mean, anticipate who should be invited and actively reaching out to those stakeholder groups or stakeholders. So that is, it could be considered more complete. And so if there are problems, okay, they make complaints later, and then there's no excuse for them to say, well, they have not been talked to. Yeah.
Okay,
that's all. Yeah.
Thank you. Please.
Chairman, I have, maybe it's my comment come quite late. Is I think for the overall public, when they talk about this one drive bypass, and then for the connection to the Eastern Harbour corridor, people expect with the completion of this project, we will get eliminate part of this agreed structure. I mean the Eastern corridor. But from what we now look at is we give more structure to that, make the whole thing more bulky and obstruct more view. Are we something wrong with that? Why is the whole design, I think, is wrong? Right, we saw the traffic, but on the other hand, we make that people in that area suffer more. Mm-hmm. Like for example, I really like to say we will from the North Point to Central Park, that part of the Eastern Corridor is existing. Right, we have nothing done to that part. Why we need to add a sound barrier? Is there a point for argue? Even if they cannot eliminate that part of the Eastern Corridor, I think this something. If you come to this commission concern, I think we are not doing our job. Sorry, Chairman.
Thank you.
Can I also agree with that remark and Frederick's remark too? I think, you know, the main stakeholders in urban design are the public at large, really. And we just sort of put up in Hong Kong all the time with ordinances that are supposed to be good for us all. And yet they're actually damaging. You know, we've had examples of the Harbour Protection Ordinance and so on. We all agree with these. But the problem is there doesn't seem to be any give and take. There's no flexibility in these ordinances. You look at the barriers along Tolo Harbour. There are several tiers of barrier along there, including, mysteriously, and I've been scratching my head over this for donkey's years, they even have a noise barrier along the seaward side at a cost of several billion dollars. You know, and I think we really do need to look at these things with some flexibility. I'm just astonished at the reply about the decibels. I mean, something between 60 and 80. 80 is a worst case. Well, what sort of a worst case? Is this something we're talking about in 20 or 30 years' time? You know, what do we really need to do this? And talking about compensation for residents who live alongside, who presumably bought apartments knowing full well there was a road in front of them, seems bizarre to me, actually.
Yeah, please, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to get a better understanding of the project in terms of its emergency and also maintenance, because I see that we can see the design from top and the side, but actually the structure inside, I want to get a better understanding. Many tunnels in Hong Kong, actually, when they are on non-peak hours, they often share lanes together. So in this particular design, I want to get an understanding of the actual the noise barrier. I see that there's a barrier between the two sides of the road. Is the nature of the corridor itself wouldn't allow at non-peak hours, cars cannot share single lanes? Or is it because of the nature of the noise barrier that barricades both sides of the traffic? And secondly, is I know the central one drive bypass, we actually spent a lot of time discussing on the central part when there's emerging escape and fire ventilation. And on this side, I'm sure these comments or these concerns are addressed, but could you also share some of the concerns that we may raise if there is a fire at the entrance of this one joy site, and how does the noise barrier affect this and take this into consideration? Thank you.
Operational questions, please. Yeah, please. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have an observation on which perhaps I would like to ask Paul to supplement. Because I'm thinking of something called NEMO, is it, Paul, in Amsterdam. which is happens to be some structure on top of the tunnel, which is called the Yijtunnel Tunnel, I-J-T-U-N-N-E-L. You must be very familiar with that. So it seems to be a very interesting place. It's a building which looks like the bow of a ship, or a sinking ship perhaps. There are a number of terraces on which people can walk up to and admire the views. Can we consider something like this in Hong Kong, perhaps?
All right. Paul, when you make your comments, perhaps you pick that up. Please, just here. Thank you.
Good Chair. I think the attempt to beautify the North Barrier is good, but I think we begin with a thing that's less than optimal, which I think is we begin with Central One Chai Bypass, and from the plan, I see that we are mainly adding the green part there, but then we are actually covering the blue part and the pink part and all also. So we are actually maybe two times wider than original. The other part is only maybe two-fifths of the width of the original. Put it in another way, we only add maybe 50% to the overall width of the Eastern Corridor, but then we are covering 100% of that. So we begin with a bigger problem than we need, because right now, like other members, as Mr. Lam and Peter and Eric also mentioned, that is as is. We don't have any noise barrier there. So we should be treating only what we added there. And if we do that, then the width of the whole noise barrier would be reduced to less than one half of it. And we can have a much better design in terms of its visual intrusion to the environment. So may we ask whether that's possible?
Thank you. Paul?
Chairman, the noise barrier is being referred to as a requirement under the EIA. I'm not sure that this commission has ever given its comments on it, but that the records will be checked, I'm sure, whether we did. But if today is a comment on the noise barriers itself, I think that we have to satisfy ourselves that it's really necessary, because from a harbour planning principles, any intrusion of sight lines off the harbour would be in breach of the principles. So in general, the position of this committee would be that it should not be there unless government satisfies us that it should be there. Today we're talking about the plastic tape and the plants, but I think everybody's far more interested in the actual size and dimensions of the structure. So I think Highways Department has to inform us, and if they can't today, they should give us clear satisfaction that the community in the neighbourhood definitely has been heard, and that it's their choice that they want to proceed with it, and that it's unavoidable for us, and that we have to deal with it as a given. I think those two questions need to be responded to, I think. On the issue of NEMO and public access to roofs and doing interesting things, well, doing interesting things in Hong Kong is always a very interesting problem. Because we're getting interesting responses to issues we have raised already before in this commission, and therefore I find it unacceptable that the Highways Department today comes back and say that they will give us answers on the public access issues later instead of now. We've raised the issues before. You know you're coming to see us again. Why don't you answer questions that have been raised earlier at the very earliest moment that you see us? I think that would be polite. In my family, that would be extremely polite if one acts like that to each other. It would also be considered efficient to act to each other like that. So now that you see us and you show us the sticky tape and the plants, could you also address the material issues that we have raised, namely load bearing of the landscape podium, and when you will let us know that public access is possible, not some unknown time in the future. On the administration building, at no time have you shown us any options for our choice. And in terms of the visual permeability, again, harbor planning principles, we would have to consider those. So, when will you show us options for that building so that we have a choice? It's not your choice, it should be given to us, it's our choice. That would be a minimum. And if there are other issues that you have in the meantime resolved, for example, the landing steps for the site that you're working on, which was a question last time, you couldn't answer that because it was not part of the consultation. Maybe that it would be great that you do answer them now, and otherwise the very next time that you can answer that would be for at least prior to our next meeting, if not yourself, but then in writing, having failed to give those answers today. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to draw a line now. Sorry, Paul, I'm going to draw a line now. Would you like to respond to the other points members have made? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just a few quick responses.
Thank you.
The first thing is about reaching out to the people who may be affected. We appreciate that comment very, very much. We will certainly go back and see what further we can do as far as the public engagement is concerned. But I think from our experience, from our previous public engagement exercises, I think people who are affected do know about this. And for those who have who are very much concerned about this, we are actually in regular contacts with them and trying to explain to them the issues and trying to resolve their complaints as far as we can. So we are not just acting very passively, but we do have certain active engagement with certain members who do have such concerns. But of course, we will try to go back and see what further we can do as far as the public engagement is concerned to adopt a more proactive approach on this. So thank you for the comment. The second question is about, I'm not too sure about the exact question, but I think the main is like through the CWP project to get rid of the IEC. I think that was not the intention. Okay? So the intention is actually to build a bypass so that we can connect from North Point to Central to give a very efficient access between the two places. The IEC has been there and it will be there, so there is no question of replacing the IEC with a tunnel or anything like that. The third question, I think, is about the EIAO. So we do appreciate that trying to solve one problem may create others, but under the existing ordinance, that's what we are bound to do. And when doing that, we try to minimize the adverse effects of the mitigation measures. So I think we have been doing the best that we can in accordance with the ordinance. There was comments about members wishing to know more about the I think the interior design of the CWB. Is that the intention? You wish to know more about the interior design of the tunnel and how the lanes will be used? Is that what you would like to know?
So, considering from the maintenance point of view and also safety.
I think of course all those will be done in conjunction with the fire services department, and we will have to pass all the requirements for the tunnel to operate. If you wish to know more details, we can send you the further details after the meeting. Okay. The next question is about the extent of the, I think it's about the extent of the barriers, and when we build the CWB, we have to put up a fairly substantial noise enclosure and noise mitigation measures, and whether that could be reduced. So I think according to the EIA report, we have done what is required in accordance with the EIAO, and so it's still a question of compliance with ordinances. And if we don't do that, then we will be subject to attack also. So that's why we have to do it. The further question is about the visual intrusions. As I have explained, when we design the ADB, we try to strike a balance between minimizing its overall visual impact and maximizing the efficient land use. So the there's also the question about the access to the landscape deck, and I think I've explained that as well. We will go back and revisit this issue. And also the question about the landing steps. Do anybody recall what was the question last time? I think we'll go back and we will try to find out an answer and give it to the members. So I think that is all I would like to reply for the moment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. I mean, as you probably gathered, there are some quite serious concerns from the members of the task force. I mean, I think we start with the harbour planning principles, and this particular proposal I don't think sits well, if you like, within the context of the harbour planning principles. So I think we would look for some sort of formal response to that particular point from your team, because I don't see the response necessarily within what we've seen today. Obviously, concerns about the size and scale of the structures, access to the roof deck, permeability of the administration building. I mean, you have indicated, and we appreciate it, that you're willing to go back and look at all these things, but I think it's a bit more than looking, if I may put it that way. I think as a task force and the commission, we're going to be looking for a written response to the various issues we've raised. And if necessary, I think we may want you to come back and have another session. But I suggest you take away the list and the engagement also with the communities, another issue that there is concern about, and let us have a written response to all the points, and then we can decide whether to accept that, if you like, or to work on that, or to have you back at a future task force to discuss the proposal further. Because, in honesty, it doesn't sit quite right at the moment. It doesn't sit well at the moment. It is a massive, massive structure that you're creating. But thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Sorry, please, yes.
Sure, Chairman. And could you please ask the team to give us other options about the administration building, whether you could incorporate in the surrounding government building rather than build a new building. But there's plenty of space. They could remove the administrative building. At least they give us some options. Thank you, Chairman.
And could I just ask another question, which I think you should, it would be good if you could answer. Were the residents given the alternative of saying, well, you might have to set some additional noise, but we can avoid putting the structure in place? I mean, that would seem to be an option that they may have wanted to consider. I mean, because that is an option, clearly. Yes. Then affected by and the ordinance would indicate a need to provide barriers, but if they were willing to accept the noise factor in return for not having the structure, was that discussed? Well, don't answer it now, but I'd be interested to know whether that was discussed at your engagement sessions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We will give you the reply.
Thank you.
We'll give you a written reply to these questions.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate the briefing. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right. Not chairing very well today. We're half an hour behind program. Sorry. But I think that was an important discussion.